Paul Kibble, the author of Uprooting Racism, How White People Can Work for Racial Justice. To learn more about Paul Kibble or making contact, check out our website at radioproject.org. We'd like to know your thoughts about today's program. You can share your thoughts or provide us feedback about today's show by logging onto our homepage. That's radioproject.org. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, sign up for Making Contact updates, take our survey, or join the conversation on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. It would be great to hear from you. The Making Contact team is Lisa Rubman, Monica Lopez, Anita Johnson, Sabine Blazin, and Vera Tykolsker. I'm Anita Johnson. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
It's 10 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned in just a moment for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And 11 o'clock, don't forget we have the bike show coming, bringing you news and views of cycling in Oregon and beyond. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. And if you'd like to become a member, you can go to kboo.fm and click where it says donate. Okay, stay tuned for Flashpoints.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is volunteer-powered. We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, operating soundboards, engineering and computer help, website upkeep, and many, many other things. To become a KBOO volunteer, come to our next monthly volunteer orientation on Tuesday, August 7th at 6 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/volunteer.
Today on Flashpoints, award-winning, multi-award-winning poet Martina Spada on the murder of Chilean folk singer Victor Jara and reading from his new collection, Vivas to Those Who Have Failed. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
Guitarra trabajadora con olor a primavera.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That was the voice of Chilean poet, folk singer, theater person, new song movement leader, Chilean hero, murdered after the U.S. sponsored and supported the overthrow of duly elected socialist democratic government and leader Salvador Allende. Victor Jara was a key player in that peaceful revolution. Some breaking news on it. There was an arrest in terms of the murderer. I think he's in the United States now. We're delighted to have Martina Spada, who is an award-winning poet, many awards. Sandra Cisneros, or referred to him as the Pablo Neruda of North American authors. Born in Brooklyn, published more than 15 books as a poet, editor, essayist, translator. His collections of poems include The Trouble Ball, The Republic of Poetry, Alabanza, Mayan Astronomy in Hell's Kitchen, Imagine the Angels of Bread, City of Coughing, and Dead Radiators. And as I said, most recently, a brand new collection, Vivas to Those Who Have Failed. Martina Spada, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Just there's a couple of news questions I have to ask you about. First, I want to get your gut reaction to the way in which the Trump administration has shredded hundreds of families, destroyed the lives of thousands of Central Americans who have already suffered many lifetimes of despair.
Well, it's cruelty, which we've come to expect from the Trump administration, and it's creative cruelty, which we've also come to expect from the Trump administration. It's not merely the usual right-wing racist backlash. It's informed by this almost gleeful sense of sadism. You know, what can we do to the most powerless of people, the most vulnerable of people, that would strike to the heart and soul of these people? Well, let's take away their children as soon as they cross the border. You know, who came up with this? I mean, I'm sure there's an answer to that question, and I'm sure someone better informed than I am could answer it. But the fact is that this comes from the culture of Trump, the values of Trump, the spirit of Trump, you know, and then, of course, he's playing to his base, the people who would most enthusiastically support not only this creative cruelty, but anything he does.
Yeah, and the cruelty continues. All the big words about returning the families. This is a double disaster. Now we're going to watch it closely. But we thank you for those comments. We came into this show, Martine. By the way, I should tell people that if you want to hear an extraordinary poetry reading, which includes Martina Spada, it's going to happen Thursday at my favorite bookstore, Moe's in Berkeley, one of the few independents left, where they actually have a bathroom that people can use as well as
that's
read the poetry. And that's happening Thursday at 7:30. We'll tell you more about that later. Martina, you've written an incredible poem about Victor Jara. Could you remind people who he was in the context of Chile and how he was murdered?
Well, Victor Jara was an extraordinary figure. Victor Jara was a singer, a songwriter, composer, a guitarist. He was also a theater director and playwright. He was a leader of the Chilean New Song Movement, and this is a movement that swept all of Latin America, but especially Chile. He was enormously popular in that country, especially during the Allende regime in the early 1970s, the socialist government in Chile, reflecting the values of Victor Jara. And Victor Jara campaigned for Allende. He sang the song Venceremos, We Will Win, which was the anthem of the Popular Unity Movement and the Allende government. He was closely identified with that government. Therefore, it shouldn't come as any surprise that on September the 11th, 1973, when the coup hit Chile, that Victor Jara was one of those rounded up. He was taken to a place called Estadio Chile, one of the stadiums, the smaller of the stadiums used in Santiago for the purpose of incarcerating, interrogating, torturing, and ultimately murdering anyone even vaguely associated with Allende or socialism in the days and weeks following the coup. And there are many stories about what happened to Victor Jara, but it is clear what people have been able to figure out over the years is that Victor sang to keep up the spirits of his fellow prisoners. This infuriated his keepers, his jailers. He was beaten. He was tortured. Ultimately, he was murdered. As a result, his body was ultimately discovered by his wife, Joan Jara. Joan, a British citizen, would ultimately write a beautiful book called Victor, An Unfinished Song. It was published in 1998. And then I would meet her many years later. In Santiago de Chile in July of 2004. I was there to participate in the activities around the Pablo Neruda centenary. He would have turned 100 years old in July of 2004. And I met with Joan Jara. We visited together the stadium where her husband had been murdered. It is now renamed Estadio Victor Jara. And we did this because we were being filmed by a documentary film crew. And even though the documentary was ultimately never produced, I did produce a poem. It's called Something Escapes the Bonfire, in several parts or four parts. And so the first section quotes his famous song, Le Plegare a un Labrador, The Peasant's Prayer. I also referenced the song I mentioned earlier, Venceremos, We Will Win. And so this poem is based in part on my encounter with Joan Jara and based in part on her accounts from the book she wrote about her husband, Victor, An Unfinished Song, and their relationship. This poem was subsequently published in a book called The Republic of Poetry.
Let's hear it. We'd love to hear it, Martin.
Sure. So that's a poem that I will read now. Something escapes the bonfire for Victor and Joan Jara. One, because we will never die, June 1969. Victor sang his peasant's prayer, Levántate y mírate las manos. Stand up and look at your hands, gloved in hard skin, the hands of Victor's father, petrified into fists steering the plow. Estadio Chile cheered, delirious as a man who knows he has plowed his last field for someone else, who hears a song telling him what he knows with the back of his neck. Joan, the dancer who twirled before crowds at the same shanty towns where Victor sang, leaned forward in her seat to hear it. First prize at the new song festival for Victor Jara. These are the nights we do not sleep because we will never die. How then could he squint into the dark somewhere beyond the back row, raise his guitar and sing? We'll go together, united by blood, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Two, The Man with All the Guns, September 1973. The coup came and soldiers whip the enemies of the state, hands on head and single file, through the stadium gates. Condemned faces bled their light in the halls of Estadio Chile. The light floats there still. The killers had their light, too. Spectral cigarettes glimmering in every corridor, especially the prince, or so the prisoners called the blonde officer who smiled at his work as if churches sang in his head. When Victor slipped into the hallway, away from thousands gripping knees to chest as they awaited the cigarette in the neck or stared back at the staring machine guns, he met the prince, who must have heard singing in his head, since he recognized the singer's face, strummed the air, and slashed a finger across his throat. The prince smiled like a man with all the guns. Later, when the other prisoners realized there were no wings on their shoulders to fly them from the firing squad, Victor sang, "Venceremos, we will win." And the band anthem lifted shoulders as the prince's face reddened in a scream. If his own scream could not quiet the song pulsing through the veins in his head, reasoned the prince, then the machine guns would. 3. If only Victor, July 2004. Crack the face of every clock at Estadio Chile. In this place, 31 years are measured by Victor's last breath. A moment, as in momento, the last word of the last canto he wrote before the bullets swarmed into the honeycomb of his lungs. Her eyes still burn. Her tongue still freezes. Again for Joan, the helicopters roar. Military music drums across the dial. Soldiers rifle butt women in the breadline. Again she finds her husband's body in the morgue amid the corpses piled like lawn.